The Christian life, although there will be others that would say that it is easy, I would beg to differ. I remember one time I used to work in a barber shop, and I was talking with the owner of the shop. You know, we were doing shop talk. And I was new in my faith and just starting to grow and hadn't had many trials and any challenges. And my brother, if you will, he would say, man, this Christian life is so hard. And he would go on to share all the different challenges that he had. And I just got frustrated in my spirit, and I yelled back over there. I say, man, the Christian life is easy. What you talking about? I should have put my head down right then. The Christian life is the hardest life to live. And because it is so difficult, God has chosen to give us a helper. I wish I had a witness this morning. You cannot live this Christian life in your own power and in your own strength. It is a supernatural journey. If you try in your own strength, you will fail. If you try to do it your way, you would find yourself bound in religion. Religion is dangerous. Religion is man's attempt to try to appease and to please God by him doing his own works, by his own efforts, and says to God, look what I have done. Aren't you satisfied with that? I think Cain got in trouble with that. Religion is dangerous because it was religion that had even Jesus crucified. Are y'all with me? And so when we think about religion, we must be mindful that God is after a relationship more so than your religious acts. Because the spiritual life of following Christ is so difficult, he's given to us the Holy Spirit to discipline us and to help us. And therefore, we take out of that word discipline a disciple. Now you say, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who is a learner, one who humbles themselves under a certain teaching. Now, I remember growing up when I was a kid, we would have Kung Fu Saturdays. Y'all remember watching all those karate movies? And it would be interesting to me because most of them would, the disciples would go off on a journey and they would seek for a master, a sifu, if you will, who would teach them, a master, Kung Fu masters. Bruce Lee was one of them. Many of them would try to get into the Shaolin Temple to be a disciple. But Jesus, the Son of God, who came down to this earth, when he met some men who were fishermen, he said unto them, simply follow me. Simply follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. This morning, I want to speak to you with a simple topic entitled, The Life of a Believer. The Life of a Believer. First of all, the life of a believer is a humble life. The humble believer must deny self to be set apart. Jesus says, follow me. A humble life, the believer says, I must deny myself. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, and we'll read there to verse number 26. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there and I'll read to you. Verse number 23. Here is what it says. And he said to them all, speaking of the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and what? Follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory, in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Jesus tells the disciples, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There are three things that you see here. He says, first, you must deny yourself. It's good to desire following the Lord. That's a good thing, amen? But he lets you know that if you desire to follow me, you must be willing to deny your way, your own words, and your own works. Think about that. The disciples, so often we find people who say they want to come, they want Jesus, they want to be saved, they want heaven, amen, however they want to put it. You see them walk down the aisle and they stand before the congregation and they said, yes, I desire Jesus. But then when Jesus put some stipulations here or there in their life, we see him for a little while, but by and by, the Christian life becomes too difficult because they are not willing to deny their word, their ways, and their own works. What they really want is the convenience of religion and the facade of a relationship. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? What they really want is the convenience of religion. The word religion, if you will, it means to bind fast. Whatever you are bound fast to, whatever you are disciplined to on a regular basis, that could be your religion. Some people's religion is golfing on Sunday morning around 9 o'clock. And they do that religiously. They are bound fast to it. Some people, they get up every Saturday morning and the first thing they do is they go to their car and they wash their car, they wax their car, they shine their rims, and they bow down to the God of their religion. Y'all not picking up what I'm putting down. So whatever you are bound fast to, that can become your religion. People have relationships with their cars. They have relationships with their golf outings. They have relationships with all these other things that they do. Religion says do. Jesus says done. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And so Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, I don't want you to be bound in religion. I want you to have a relationship with me, because notice what he says. He says, follow who? Me. It doesn't matter what other people think outside of Christ. If Christ says, follow me, you must follow Christ and leave all the results to him. It's difficult to follow Christ, because it means that you may not be able to hang out with those friends that you so like. You may not be invited to some of those parties that they're having. They may call you a holy roller and don't want you to be around. It hurts us because we want to be accepted in our various settings, but the Christian journey in the life of a believer is so difficult that Jesus says you need a helper. And listen to this, saints, you got to get this. And he actually lets you know that it's impossible for you to follow him except he be with you and in you. So he says, follow me. Following Jesus is not easy believism. Yes, I want Jesus. Yes, I'll be baptized. But the one who really follows Jesus is willing to go beyond just the preliminary sessions, if you will. You sing a song about it, just a closer walk. It's difficult. Jesus says, deny yourself. Well, I don't know. I mean, I like some of the things that I do that may not be Christian-like. I don't know if I can give that up. I remember a gentleman that came to our home one day. Matter of fact, my wife and I, during that time, we were singing in the choir. Back there in the choir loft, we were singing in the choir. And there was a young lady that we had led to the Lord in our neighborhood. We led her to the Lord, and we were discipling her. And weeks go by. This young lady comes to the house, and she has on a shirt, a T-shirt, that had a price list for all the various sex acts that she provided. Not that she provided, but the shirt said that you can have these services. And we were trying to disciple her and to let her know that that shirt was inappropriate as a new believer in Christ. And she says, well, I don't do any of these things. My boyfriend bought it for me, and so I was wearing it because he liked it. I said, oh. So she went home. She told her boyfriend what I said. And one night on our way home from choir rehearsal, I was pulling up to get some gas. And I was pumping gas, and her two little nephews pointed up and said to a big man who was really tall, about 6 foot something, 5 foot tall, big guy, said, there he is right there. I said, okay. Oh, Lord. They pointed right at me. So I knew who they were. They knew who I was. And so the cost of my discipleship showed up at the gas station. He came over. I'm pumping gas. Yeah, man, I heard you said something to my woman, man. Say what you said now. Say it now. And so I'm pumping gas, and I kid you not, I'm thinking in my mind, like I said, I used to box, and I'm thinking about all the moves I'm going to do if he starts to swing on me. You know what I'm saying? But I humbled myself. I humbled myself. Notice I said that the humble servant must deny themselves. In myself, in my religion, the things that I used to be bound to, I was ready to do some uppercuts if he acted up. My wife is in the car. You don't disrespect me in front of my wife. My pride, my ego, and all of that showed up. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? But I'm pumping gas. I'm pumping gas. And say what you said to my girl. Say it now. I said, yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. I humbled myself, and I put sir out there. But other words probably were running through my mind. Yes, sir, whatever you say, sir. And I did that until I finished pumping my gas. I had my one eye on him and one eye on the gas and one eye on my wife. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? So one eye was working real hard. So we drive back around from that place, and I come into the apartment complex where we lived, And lo and behold, they were walking across the field. And so we pull up into our parking space, and I tell my wife, I say, babe, I'm gonna go over there and try to talk to him. She was like, no, don't do. I say, no, I'm gonna see if I can share the gospel with him. So I got out the car, I went over there, and he started cussing me out right there in the parking lot. I say, man, listen. I say, we don't have to be out here in the parking lot like this. Why don't you come in the house? And I can sit down. Listen, y'all. And I can sit down and I can explain to you why I said what I said. At this point, I'm either filled with the Spirit or I'm out of my mind. So he says, yeah, you're gonna explain this to me. So he walks behind me, and I took my eyes off of him and walked in the house, and I unlocked the door. He came into the house, sat down on my couch, and I began to explain to him that his girlfriend had recently accepted Jesus Christ and that she was a believer now, and we were trying to show her a more appropriate way. And I said the t-shirt was inappropriate. It made people think that she was a prostitute. Well, I bought the shirt. That's what he said. I said, no offense, and then I began to talk to him. I understand that you two are engaged to be married. Here's my segue to Christ. I understand that you two are supposed to be getting married. Yep, that's right. And so I began to talk to him about marriage and how God instituted marriage and how God honors marriage. And then from there, I wind up talking about the gospel. And we wind up moving and talking so much so that we were in the kitchen talking. And at this time, I'm really breaking down John 3:16, and I'm really going into all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and what sin was and making it plain to him. And he got to a point where he said, you know what? I asked him this question. I said, if you had to choose between heaven or hell, which would you choose? He said, heaven. I said, if you had to choose between Satan getting you there or Jesus Christ taking you to heaven, which would you choose? He said, Jesus. And I said this, I said, if you had to choose between now and never, which would you choose? He backed up. He said, I want to believe now, but I can't. The cost of discipleship. I can't. I say, why is that? He pulled out of his pocket, and he showed me a court summons he had on yellow paper. He had two counts against him, two judgments. One of them was for armed robbery with a gun. And by this time, I'm looking at the paper. I'm looking at him in my house. And I'm wondering if he got a gun. And I said, you know what? I said, don't worry about that. I said, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, you can accept him today and he will forgive you of your sin. And he will come into your life. I said, if you can change yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus. The reason that Jesus died on the cross for your sins is that we couldn't forgive ourselves, and he didn't want us to have to pay our own cost for our own sins. And so you're going to have to go before a judge, and I'm talking to him about the judge now. And I'm talking to him about Jesus, he being that judge, the chief judge, the one that you're going to have to stand before right there in that kitchen. This man, about 6'5". Two counts of armed robbery is what it was. Bowed his head, accepted Jesus Christ right there in my kitchen. The cost of discipleship. About a month later, I figured that he had gone back into prison. I tried to keep up with him and what have you. I saw the man in one of the drug stores here in Portsmouth. And when I saw him, I was a little troubled because I didn't know if he remembered me or if he had a bad memory of me. And he came up to me and gave me the biggest hug and said, thank you. Everything is working out. I don't know what God did, But somehow God was working out and he wasn't in prison. He wasn't in jail. So we give God all the glory for that testimony. And so when I say a humble believer as one who has a humble life, the humble believer must deny self to be set apart, because you never know what God is going to set you apart to do on the behalf of someone else. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Jesus said, follow me. You mean follow me means to tell this young lady who has this shirt on that it's inappropriate. Follow me means that knowing that her boyfriend is going to come and try to assault you. Follow me means that he's going to cuss you out and embarrass you in front of your wife. Follow me means that he's going to cuss you out again in the parking lot. Follow me means that you're going to trust me to open the door to your house to let this strange man in with your wife. Follow me means that you're going to talk to him about yes! Means follow him. One day I was dropping off a member there in Cincinnati. Brother Keith just recently passed away. And Keith lived in one of the most dangerous parts of Cincinnati, and I was dropping him off, and lo and behold, there was a man around noontime, maybe 1 o'clock, in the middle of the street, beating this girl with a weapon in his hand, pistol whipping her. People are walking up and down the street. Nobody said a word. My children are in the car. My wife is there, and I'm dropping Keith off. And I don't recommend nobody do this. Unless you know you're filled with the Spirit. And so I was then empowered or emboldened to say something. When I yelled out and said, hey, 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 he stopped for a second. The girl got up and she ran. She got away. But he started walking to me. And I'm saying to myself, uh-oh. But I knew somebody had to be praying for me, because I wasn't afraid. As he was walking, and as he was walking, I can see the gun sitting there in the front of his trousers. And he's walking, and I'm standing in the middle of the walkway just like this. Either I was so scared out of my mind, my feet didn't move, or I was filled with the Holy Spirit and God didn't let me move. But he came to me and he pulled out his gun. My wife right there, she saw it. He pulls out his gun. Say, this ain't none of your business. You don't want none of this. And I said, well, let me introduce myself to you. I'm Pastor Tony. And at that time, I was pastoring a church right there in the hood. Had 15 drug dealers selling drugs from the church steps when we took it over. Ladies were selling their bodies from the church steps because that's where they felt safe. So I was in the neighborhood, and I explained to him that I'm Pastor Tony over here on Walnut Street at Walnut Street Baptist Church. And I said, let me pray for you. He looked at me, put his gun in his pants, and he turned around. He walked away. Didn't pray for him, but what I'm saying to you, that there's a cost for really following Christ. He could have shot me right there. And again, I don't recommend, unless God really gives you the help and the audacity or the boldness to do something like that. Because young people today, I don't want to say nothing too bad, but we have some dangerous young people on the street today. More kids now have weapons than they ever did. We have to be careful. And so I only say to you that there's a cost for following Christ. And you never know. It's not this genie rubbing Jesus that we so often think about. If you just call on the Lord and whatever you want, you're going to get it. It don't work that way in Christ. Whatever his will is, that he will provide as you follow him. Then he said to them all, if anyone, black, white, male, female, desires to come after me, they must deny themselves and then take up their cross. How often? Daily. Jesus bore the cross, or the cross. But he also says that you have a little cross to bear. He bore the big cross, the high and lifted up. Draw all men unto me. That he bore. But he says, you also have a cross to bear, that when people see Christ in you bearing that cross, it will draw all men, women, boys, and girls unto him. Why? Because they know that what you're doing, no human could do it. What you're carrying, no human in their own strength could carry it. What you're going through, you couldn't go through that on your own. Somebody has to be helping you. Yes, Jesus says the life of a believer is a humble life. The humble believer must deny themselves to be set apart. He says, follow me according to my word. He said, if you're going to follow me, you need to follow me according to my word, not your word, not the word of the scientists or the philosophers or the socioeconomical teachers. He says, you got to follow me according to my word, and my word is settled in heaven. My word, listen, he says, let every man be a lie. Woo! But let God be true. Let God be true. So often people want to trick you with words. They got shifty words, and words that are unstable, and they sink on sand. But we have a word that is a sure. It is a promise. It is anchored to our soul. We have a good word. We have a right word. We have a righteous word because it's God's word. He said, I want you to follow me according to my word. Withal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed to the word of God. Well, who is the word? Jesus is the word. So he says, if you're going to follow Jesus, you also have to follow his word. Not when his word is convenient for you, but when his word opposes you. You got to deny yourself. And so when his word opposes the way you feel, see, we got this thing in Christianity that I will only follow Jesus if I feel good. I will only come to church when I feel good. I will only serve him when I feel good. We just don't have a feel-good religion. We don't have a feel-good relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a righteous relationship with Jesus. Yes. He says, follow me in my word, follow me in my works. That means that you are to do the works that he does. And notice that these works are in his name, not in your name. To follow Jesus is to follow Jesus. He says, follow me. Well, who is the me? The me is the one who is Jehovah's salvation. The me is the one who is the beginning and the end. He says, follow me. He says, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am the God, your peace. You are following after the peace. I am Jehovah Sitkanu. I am the God who is your righteousness. That's who you follow. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the one that will provide everything that you need along the way. When he says, follow me, it's implied. I wish I had a witness. Yes. Rick Warren said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Let me say it again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Amen. Yes. The humble servant, the humble believer is the one who is ready and willing to be less so that Christ can be more. They are the ones that say, I must decrease so that Christ and his word and his works and his ways can what? Increase. Yes, that's the life of a believer.
He is a humble believer. Secondly, the life of a believer is a wealthy life. The wealthy believer must lose in order to gain. Jesus says, lose to me. Verse number 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains what? The whole world and is himself destroyed or lost. To lose to Christ means to surrender our way, to suffer with Christ, and to submit to the sacrificial life of letting God have his way. Think of Abraham and Isaac going up to Mount Moriah. It's interesting what Mount Moriah means. It means the Mount of Understanding. The Mount of Understanding was, in other words, when God called Abraham and Isaac to go up to Mount Moriah, notice they had to lose. Abraham had to lose his way and his own identity. Prior to that, every man in the generations before Abraham, they were all trying to make a name for themselves. So what God does, he calls Abraham out from all of those idol God worshipers, and he calls him out and he tells Abraham this. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. He says, I'm going to make your name great. But in order for Abraham to gain that name, he had to lose his name. So he switches from Abram to Abraham. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You can look at it in the sense of Paul. Paul, who was Saul, becomes Paul. Simon, who becomes Peter. We have to lose our own identity to identify with Christ to gain in him. Well, Abraham goes up to Mount Moriah and notice that they did not, Abraham nor did Isaac, struggle. Neither did they complain. Neither did they hate God. Neither did they retaliate against God. Nor did they blame God for even coming up with this idea of sacrificing my only son. They simply obeyed, and God provided for his own sacrifice. God had something better in store, a better and a perfect sacrifice, one without blemish, whom God the Father would say in the future in Matthew, this is my beloved son, and whom I am what? A little bit pleased. He says, no, I am what? Well pleased with my sacrifice. In other words, Abraham, I understand now that you were willing to lose in order to gain. You were willing to lose your identity. You were willing to lose your old religious ways. You were willing to even lose your only begotten son, your only son. You were willing to lose that you might gain the promises of God. That in Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Yes, you have to lose to gain. Let me ask you the question, what are you willing to lose to follow Christ? Are you willing to lose some friends? Are you willing to lose some relationships? Are you willing to even leave some folk behind that are precious to you? You have to lose to gain. Yes. Billy Graham once said, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. Jesus is shaping in us his character. To be a disciple, to be a disciple means one who is willing to be shaped and molded into the image of Christ, that we might be like Jesus, little Christuses. Not little crisis, but little Christuses. Some folk, every time you see them, they're a crisis. Am I right about it? Philippians 3:14 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, losing those things, Abraham, that are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call, the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes. The word press means to follow after. The spirit-filled life in Christ that leads to faith and works is the one that follows after. We follow after a lot of things in this world. You know, you go to Facebook. How many things have you clicked on to say follow? How many web pages have we clicked on to say follow? I must confess, I have some. I have a few. I follow the RV campers group. I follow the weightlifting and the bodybuilding group. I follow some of these car, you know, looking for car. There's so many different groups that you can follow. But the best is Jesus. We are to like and subscribe to Jesus and then follow. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? We are to like, subscribe, and then what? Follow. We subscribe by faith. We like the Spirit of God shaping and molding us. We like Jesus speaking to us when it's inconvenient. We like following him when the world says follow them. We like the Word of God over the ways of men. We are to like, subscribe, and then what? Follow. Yes. Yes. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. If you will, think about a runner who's running. When you run, I've ran track when I was in school, and I remember some of the things that I had to do. I ran the 800-meter run. I ran the 220-yard dash. I couldn't run the 100. Those guys were much faster, but I can get them in the 220 because it takes a little bit more endurance to do that. And I did the pole vault, amen? And so I understand the concept of pressing towards a goal. Paul talks about that pressing, but let me tell you something about running, if you will. You have to do the event that you qualify when you run track. How many of y'all ever ran track in school? Now, there are many different events that are out there on the field. You can do the discus. You can do the, what they call that one with the ball, the... shot put, you got it. You can do the shot put. Now, you can also do the hurdles. You can do all the distance running. You can do any one of those events, the high jump, the long jump, amen, and then the ones that I mentioned to you before. But listen, saint, you got to make sure that you run the race that you qualify for. In other words, God has given you certain gifts and abilities, and he's given you a certain place in which to serve him and which you qualify for. And then not only that, but when you begin to run, in order to compete to reach the goal, you can't run in somebody else's lane. You get disqualified. And so what you got to do when you run, you got to stay in your lane. I think that was a judge who used to say that. Stay in your lane, because if you get over in my lane, you're going to trip me up, make me fall, and I won't finish the race. I wish I had somebody to pick up what I'm putting down. You got to stay in your lane. You got to stay in your lane. When you run, listen, saints, you got to run in your own shoes. Sometime, you know, I remember I had some track meet. Matter of fact, that was one track meet where it was a race. It was like a 3,200 race. I was not a long distance runner. And so I didn't have the right shoes to run a long distance run. And so I had to run in my shoe, even though I didn't run the race and finish first, but I ran in my shoes. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You can't run and say, somebody else's shoes. Don't matter what place you come in, as long as you finish the race in your shoes, in your lane, in the event that you qualify for. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Yes. And that's something else. That's something else you need to learn. You need to learn. When you run, look, the Bible said you got to, we got to run straight. Listen, run straight, as I said, and stay in your own lane. Sometime when we run, you got people who will get dizzy and that fall out there running your lane. But you got to run a straight race. Are you picking me what I'm putting down? Listen, in other words, you can't run a crooked race. You can't run a race as a believer in Christ doing crooked and criminal things for the Lord. You got to run straight. You got to follow after the Lord. He said, listen, when I speak to you, don't you look to the left. Don't you look to the right. But you look forward. You keep your eyes on the prize. You run straight. Don't run no crooked line. Don't do anything wrong in running in my name. You got my name on your chest running towards the goal. As a matter of fact, if you're going to act like that, take my name off, put your name on and run. Because I don't want nobody to trip or fall and get in the wrong lane and make somebody else fall. Somebody ought to give God glory in the house of God. Yes. Yes. And then you need to press with the strength that Christ gives. Warren Wiersbe said this: there are two extremes to avoid. One is, I must do it all. And the other is, God must do it all. When you say God must do it all, what you do is you pray and you say, God going to take care of that. He going to give me that job. But you don't apply. God going to do it all. You need gas in your car. It's on E. You got the money. You got the time, but you go out to the driveway and say, Lord, I want you to provide me some gas. God gonna do it all. You're gonna be sitting right there. But the other extreme is, I got to do it all. And what we do is we negate the fact that God wants to be our helper. God wants to get the glory. God wants to be the supply, but he wants to work with you. So as you appropriate faith that produces works, God will work in honor of your faith. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? So you want to avoid either one of those extremes that says, I can do it all. None of us can do it all. We need help. Not only has he given us the Holy Spirit as a helper, he's given us brothers and sisters in Christ as a helper. Can I get a witness? That's where we come and we use our gifts and our talents to serve the Lord while staying in our lane, while working in the event that we have been qualified for. Yes. I'm almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 3 says, let me go back to James. James chapter 3 and 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. James says, show me your faith without what? Works. And I will show you my faith, what? By my works. There, those two extremes merge for the glory of God. For the kingdom impact that God wants to use you for. 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strives for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive, except he press, except he run according to the law, which is the word of God. And then lastly, I want to say the life of a believer is an unashamed life. The unashamed believer in God will not be ashamed of God. Jesus says, glorify me. Glorify me. For whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, in the glory of his Father and of the glory of his angels. Paul said it in Romans chapter 1 and 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation unto everyone that believe. He says, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so we got to get to a place where we are so confident confident in our Lord and Savior, not in ourselves, knowing that we are denying ourselves, that we say, I'm not ashamed to believe in Jesus. I'm not ashamed to pray while I'm eating over my meal. I'm not ashamed to study the Word of God and understand what God is saying against what the world is saying. I'm not ashamed to come to church, even though it may be two people in the house of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said there's power in Jesus' name. Somebody's going to get saved because you're unashamed. Somebody's going to give their life to Christ. Yes. I'm not close with this illustration. I had a friend, his name was Ashish. We worked together at Temple Baptist College in Cincinnati, Ohio. Ashish one day was sharing with me his testimony. And as he shared his testimony, he told me how he came to Christ. He was from India. He grew up in India. And if you know anything about India, they live under what is called a caste system. 160 million Indians are called untouchables. These are people that are born into poverty. They would never get out of poverty. They are at the lowest of the lowest, so they would be considered like those who would be, if you will, lepers. If you were born poor, you would die poor. If you lived in a certain community, you would never be able to go beyond that community. You can only work certain jobs. You can never overcome any socio-economical challenges. You can never overcome any political challenges. You don't have any voice. They are persecuted people. Ashish comes out of this caste system. It's still going on today. We can most relate when we think of slavery. Well, Ashish tells the testimony of how he had went to a place and heard the gospel. I think it might have been a revival that was being held. And he accepted Christ while he was in India. He went home and he told his mom and his dad and his family, and his father disowned him. The cost of being a disciple. He was cast out of his own house because, if you don't know, in India, they have somewhere, I believe, 330 million different gods. Everything is a god. And so they didn't worship the same God anymore, so Ashish had to leave. Somehow, after him accepting Jesus Christ, he found himself going to computer school. And he became a computer engineer out of this caste system. It's a miracle by itself. He then somehow, by the grace of God and by the miracle of God, finds an opportunity to come to the U.S. And he goes to school at the school where I was the director of admissions. And he served there as a student, but he also served over the computers. I forget what department that he had there. Ashish graduates from school. He's a computer engineer now working in Cincinnati, Ohio. What does Ashish do? What does he have the audacity to do? He goes back to that which he came out of, and knowing that he could easily be identified with the poorest of the poor, he went back and started a ministry called Partners India. You can look it up on the webpage. Partners India. He's working specifically with those individuals who live in poverty, with the untouchables. Now see, Jesus touched his life so that he can go and touch the untouchables. Am I right about it? You ought to give the Lord glory in the house of God. Now I ask you the question, what are the untouchables, or who are the untouchables in your life? Who are the people that God want you to go back and have an impact on? There's going to be a cost. Your family may reject you. You may be cast out from your own community. But Jesus says, I'm with you. Follow me. Follow me. Lose to me. Glorify me. That is the word of the Lord today. God bless you. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like the Lord is calling me to serve him in some manner, maybe missions, maybe evangelism, to reach your community, to reach your neighborhood. If that's who you are, I want to pray for you. We all stand. We're going to stand at this time. If that's who you are,